The DigitalLifestyle.com presents The Media Centre Show, show 163, Thursday, 3rd of July, 2008. Show. I'm Ian Dixon, and this week I'm going to be talking to Media Centre MVP Pete Stagman, and he's going to return to the show to talk about how to get DVD streaming directly into Media Centre extenders using the DVD library feature of Media Centre. So that includes Xbox 360 and the other extenders. And Pete's done a great guide with some of the other MVPs on how to do this. So we're going to be talking to Pete about how we get it working and some of the things that it can do. I've got your email and news items. So welcome to the show. It's great to have you along. I do appreciate you listening to the show. And I'm going to dive straight into the email. This is from Andrew. He said, "Hi Ian, really enjoyed your show and all the information I'm getting from it. I'm currently building a Media Centre PC with Vista and was curious as to what graphics card should I get. I was looking at a nice Asus motherboard with a built-in NVIDIA GeForce 7100. And I was wondering if this would be good to hook up a 46-inch 1080p TV to. Just wondered if there's any advantage or disadvantage to the built-in video card. I know sometimes motherboard noise can be heard with the onboard audio when listening to the headphone jack on the front of the computer, and I was wondering if this is corrected with digital outputs or not. I'll be hooking up the HDMI output to a stereo receiver with HDMI inputs. Thanks so much for the podcast, and looking forward to hearing from you, Andrew." Thanks for the email, Andrew. I think the graphics card that you're talking about there, the NVIDIA GeForce 7100, is good enough for watching recorded TV on and driving a 1080p display. I think it's probably got enough power to do that. What it's not going to be ideal for is if you're doing some sort of a high-end gaming, but as a media center machine, I think that's fine. So I think you'll be fine with that. As for the audio, I think using HDMI, you shouldn't have any noise at all. I know what you're talking about. Sometimes if you plug headphones directly into a PC, you can kind of hear this digital noise in the background when the PC is doing something, like maybe the hard drive's going or something like that. But using the digital output in HDMI, you won't get that. So I think you'll be fine on that. So let us know how you get on, Andrew. And Andrew sent us a link to the motherboard he was looking at on Newegg.com, so I'll include a link for that in the show notes. But I think you're going to have a nice system there. Now a question on the extender that I did a video unboxing for. This is the HP MediaSmart Connect, and you can find a link to the unboxing video in the show notes. And this email's from Tim Jenkins. "Hi Ian, I saw your unboxing video of the new device, and I was wondering if you've tested playback on Xvid or H.264 videos through the Media Center extender interface. Also, the tech spec at HP site state that 1080i max is supported, but I think I heard you say in the video there's a switch for 1080p, or was it 720p? Does the device support 1080p? Lastly, does the audio output support AC3 digital surround sound multi-channel audio playback?" Thanks for your email, Tim. I have tried Xvid from the Media Center UI, and that did play. So I haven't tried specifically H.264, but I think that should play looking at the specs and from the Media Center interface as well. I'm pretty sure it'll play directly from the MediaSmart interface. The output is either 1080i or 720p, and there's a button on the front and you can control it through the software, so there's no 1080p support. And the audio is digital output, and I think the digital output is being carried through, so you do get the surround sound on there as well. So that would probably be interesting to try in combination with the DVD support that we're going to be talking to Pete later. So thanks for that email. The email address for the show is ian@thedigitallifestyle.com. Please keep those coming in. If you've got any comments on any of the news items we've talked about or anything you've heard on the show, you can you can let me know those and I'll read them out next week. Now to a few news items before we go to the interviews. With all the talk about Bill Gates leaving Microsoft as he goes off to do his new project, there was absolute ton of posts the last couple of weeks about Microsoft and Bill Gates, and one of them was going through the hits and misses of Bill Gates' reign at Microsoft. And an article on MSNBC called "The Media Center PC is a Miss." So I wrote a response to that on my first post for TechRadar.com's digital home blog, which I'm going to be doing some writing for. But what it boiled down to, my thoughts were this. I thought that really Windows Media Center is a service and not a product. So Media Center is software that powers extenders, at the moment hardware, ideally software as well. And Media Center is not a desktop PC connected up to a TV. The article on the MSNBC kind of shows an old 2002 spec, desktop PC that would be connected up to a TV, and I think it's probably true that hasn't really taken off. I wouldn't exactly describe it as a miss, but I know what they're saying, it hasn't taken off. Whereas having a Media Center PC with extenders all around the home and SoundBridge devices and all these different kind of ways of consuming content, photo frames and all that kind of thing, that is where it's a hit. And the home theater PC is a niche market and is never going to be a mainstream hit. Whereas I think in the future, Media Center could be a mainstream hit with more devices, especially as extended software gets built into other devices. So have a look at the article, a link for that in the show note. But what I was trying to say really is Media Center is a service and not a product. So check out the link for that in the show notes. And then, and talking of Windows Vista and Media Center, one of the over the last year and a half, really, Vista's coming for a lot of criticism. Some of it justified, but most of it not really. And a lot of it's made by people that have never really used the operating system. It's funny, I was doing some stuff the other day and picked up an XP machine that I hadn't done for a while. And I really hate to go back to XP after using Vista. But it's been quite fashionable to bash Vista. And a lot of tech sites are picking up on that. And I hear some podcasts that kind of Vista just gets bashed and blamed for everything when obviously it's not the case. It's a good operating system. It's very stable for me. It works well, especially as you get newer machines that are pre-installed with Vista and got better drivers and everything else. So hopefully the myth of Vista problems is going to be replaced by reality as more people get a good experience with it. But it was interesting to see that Gizmodo published the 10 reasons why Vista isn't that bad. And number 4 on there was Media Center as a DVR. So have a look at that link in that in the show notes. Let me know what you think. If you're an XP user and you won't migrate to Vista, why? Is it a hardware problem? Is there some kind of thing, something wrong with the OS that you think? Or are you a Vista user that's happy? I mean, I know I am and people I talk to are. So let me know what you think in at thedigitallifestyle.com. One post I put in this week that seems to generate a lot of comments was about my main Media Center PC. And if you've seen, follow my blog, and probably I've seen it on Twitter as well, it's my Media Center PC. I've had power supply problems a while ago, and they went away, then they came back again, and it died eventually. So it's working on a smaller kind of backup device that I've got running. And so I'm on the market for a new Media Center machine, powering all these extenders that I've got now. And really, over the last couple of years, the role of my Media Center system has changed from being a family PC that everybody uses to a Media Center server. So I've been looking to purchase one of those to store my recorded TV, to serve the extenders and so on. So I'm going to be writing about how I go choosing the machines. There's some great comments and some suggestions. I'm pretty much decided on going on an off-the-shelf unit. I don't need a home theater PC because it's not going to be connected directly up to the TV. So if you've got any recommendations, let me know. I'm thinking of, something like your HP Pavilion or your Dell XPS, and not necessarily a home theater case. But I'd be interested to get your suggestions, and I'm going to let you know how I get on with that. You can follow that on my Twitter feed and on my blog. Twitter is isdixon, and twitter.com/isdixon, and my blog's on thedigitallifestyle.com, and you can go to ian.thedigitallifestyle.com. This week, over on the Microsoft Consumer Electronics blog, they posted the third and final part of the Media Center University video. This is taken from the EHX show in the spring, and the video shows, from the presentation, shows how to do sort of network tuning, home server connections, different ways of connecting up home theater PCs and using extended designs. They've been quite a good series, actually, and aimed at the sort of the custom installer market, but something interesting for enthusiasts as well. So have a look at that. A link for that is in the show notes. As I mentioned before, I wanted to say about some of the ways you can keep in touch. My blog is on thedigitallifestyle.com under blogs, and you'll see the other blogs on there. You can follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/isdixon, and also on FriendFeed under Ian D. So check me out on there if you're on FriendFeed. I'm still not sure about FriendFeed. I like it the way that it kind of brings all the content together. So if you followed me, say, on FriendFeed, you would see Flickr pictures that I've posted, you'll see my Twitter comments, my blog posts, if I shared something in Google Reader, all that kind of thing consolidated together. But I like the sort of the instant messaginess of Twitter. So I think they both have the different ways. But it'd be nice to see perhaps a 10-foot interface for that. And one of the things that I just posted about recently was there's going to be a Facebook application for Media Center, and this is in the early stage of development at the moment. It's going to be called Photato, and I'm sure I'm pronouncing that right, but this is going to bring Facebook to the 10-foot interface. Like I said, it's in the early stage of development, and the website's not up yet, but a link for that is in the show notes, and also how to get involved with the beta. It's a nice looking application, actually, and it'd be great to, you know, bring Facebook to the Media Center and to the 10-foot screen, you know, to bring all that content in there, you know, photos and all that kind of stuff. So that's a nice application to see. And before I go to the interview, I wanted to thank listeners that were on the webinar last Thursday, talking with HP, talking about the Media Center Connect. There were some great questions in there, so I don't know, hopefully some of you guys were in there. There is a replay, and I'm going to include a link for that in the show notes, so you can watch that session again. There's some interesting questions going through there as well. I was watching some of the questions flying through. So nice session introducing the Media Smart Connect, and there's still two webinars to come as well, 8th of July and 12th of July. So make sure you register for those and check those out, because you can get your questions asked in there as well. So let's now go to the interview. Pete Stagmont is a Media Center MVP and a community leader in Media Center with his user group. And together with some other Media Center MVPs, they've come up with a solution to get DVD streaming from a Media Center PC onto Media Center extenders. So you can rip your DVDs to your local machine, of course only the ones that you own the copyright to, and then you can stream those out via DVD library. So let's talk to Pete and find out that that's done. Pete, welcome back to the Media Center Show.
Thanks for having me again, Ian.
Yeah, we had a good response to you being on the show last time, and you've done some great work with some of the other MVPs of getting DVD library working on extenders, so I thought we'd talk about that. But just first remind listeners about your sort of community work that you do for Media Center.
Sure. I run the Home Theater PC User Group, which actually the name has changed. It's now the New England Digital Media User Group. We did that just to expand our focus a little bit. You can actually get to our site by going to www.htpcug.org. Eventually, that'll be www.nedmug.com. You'll actually be able to get there by either.
So what was the reason for expanding sort of the you know, the scope of what you're doing?
Well, it was starting to get kind of boring just doing strictly Media Center all the time. I wanted to get into some other stuff, you know, like Zune and iPod and digital cameras and, you know, various other types of video and storage. So it just made sense. You know, a lot of the members of the group didn't mind. You know, they were getting a little bored with the subject matter too, because it seemed that we were just recycling stuff over and over. So, you know, it actually, you know, brought some more topics in.
Yeah, I mean, and the thing is, I guess if you're into home theatre, then you're going to be into these other things anyway, and you're going to want to know how to bring them all together.
Right. Yeah, another thing I'm actually doing, I'm working with Microsoft to develop a new training session, and if you like, I can send you a copy of the agenda. But what we're going to do is on a Saturday, we're going to have a full day training. The first one will be held at the Microsoft office in Waltham, Mass, and that's going to be kind of our beta test training session. What it's going to be is it's called the Connected Home Day, and there's going to be two tracks. There'll be like a home networking track and a home theater track, and it'll start out very, very basic. I mean, people who've been doing this a while may want to skip the first couple hours because it's going to be, how do you turn on a computer? I mean, it's going to be really dead simple stuff. And as the day progresses, we're going to get, more and more complicated and more technical. Until the end of the day, we're going to actually have a full working home network with Media Center and Windows Home Server. So out of the course of the day, we'll be, putting this stuff together, and by the end of the day, it'll be up and running.
Oh, that's great. So that's a great way of getting new people into Media Center, then be shown right from the beginning.
Right, and the home, and excuse me, Windows Home Server, which I think is going to be, a fantastic application once, the little quirky bugs are out and more people start to hear about it.
Yeah, it is. It is a nice unit, and it's got a lot of potential. The fact that I think things like the HP machines and some of the other OEM ones, you can
Yeah,
just
the
kind of
Media
plug them.
Smarts. I love those.
You just plug them in
I
and go.
actually wish. Yeah, I actually wish that Microsoft would integrate a couple of those things. Like the ability to give people a different access to different photo directories. As one of the big things I have is, using, say, something like WebGuide. You either give people access to pictures or not. You can't really say, well, they can get into this folder but not into that folder, where the Media Smart server can do that.
I mean, the Media Smart is a really nice box. I do really like the way that they've designed that, kind of just plug on the network, and away you go.
Yeah, I love it. I'm actually, I think that's, believe that we're going to have one for the Connected Home Day.
Yeah,
I
that'd
think
be
that's what
nice
we'll
to
be
show.
using.
Because that's nice, the fact that you really don't have to be technical at all to use one of those. You can just plug it in your network and start using it as a backup straight away.
Right, yeah. Yeah, you just, plug it in, turn it on, and then install the client.
Yeah, it is a really nice unit, and I think that way for the future of these devices that don't need a lot of configuration, or what configuration they do need is very simple and sort of wizard based, is definitely the way forward.
Oh, and the drive pooling, without having to learn RAID, is fabulous. It's really, really neat to be able to just plug in a drive, go into the interface, and say, yeah, add this drive.
I mean, I think things we've talked about on the show in the past is that there's obviously going to be there's a huge amount of synergy between Media Center and Home Server, and obviously these things are going to be, if not tied together, sort of have better integration in the future.
Yeah, I hope so.
Yeah, because that's the trick, isn't it? The content between Media Center and Home Server just isn't there at the moment, or the link between them isn't there without doing some sort of serious work, things that like I've got on the
Oh yeah,
forums.
editing the group policy to, to get a recorded TV folder to work and stuff like that. Yeah.
Yeah, it should be a lot harder than it needs to be.
Yeah, definitely.
So, I mean, in fact, that this links in really to one of the items that you're talking about. You for a long time, everybody really wants to get to the situation where you don't have DVDs lying around. You've got a home server or a Media Center machine, and you can have all your DVDs on there, and then you can access them from anywhere around the home. So, this is something that you obviously felt strongly about. So, what was the reason for sort of starting this project off?
Well, it's kind of funny how I ended up with it. Getting DVDs to play on an extender has if you go to my website, it's the Holy Grail. It's always something that everybody's wanted to do, and Microsoft just hasn't done for whatever reason. When we were out at the MVP summit in Seattle this year, Richard Miller and I had brought it up. During one of the roundtable discussions with the Media Center developers, And we kept saying, we really want this. And their response was, why? I said, what are you kidding? Why? What do you mean, why? We want to be able to play DVDs on our extenders. And they say, well, if you buy the, what is it, the 2200, the Netgear 2200,
Yeah,
you can play a
Link
DVD. So
Sys.
yeah, but you can't do it, out inside of the interface. And they just said, well, it's, we can look into it. And so out of that conversation is how this actually all started. Richard and I and a few of the other MVPs who don't want to be named started talking about it, and one of the guys came up with the idea that there's a new DLL call available in the Service Pack 1 of Vista that enables the DVD library on an extender. And he said, you know what? I bet you I can get that to work. And that's kind of how that started. The reason that I ended up with the project was specifically because I had a website that wasn't directly connected to either Green Button or Microsoft. And with the Home Theater Group, I said, you know what? I'd be happy to host that. And that's how it ended up there. And I just kind of put together the how-to.
Okay, so take us step by step through it. So first of all, what software do you need to get started?
Well, you definitely need Vista Service Pack 1. It will not work without Service Pack 1. We had a lot of people that we didn't mention that original in the first version of the how-to. We have added that. So Service Pack 1 has to be installed. You have to download the transcoder.dll from the httpcug.org website. There's a page on there called DVD Library on an Extender How-To. It's available on that page about, I guess, about three quarters of the way down, right before the pictures. There's also source code posted up there because that DLL can do much more. And some people have already started playing with it and coming up with different ideas on how to get it to work. So you drop that DLL into the C Windows eHome folder. And then there's also in that package, in that zip file, along with the DLL, there's a .reg file. You double click on that .reg file, and that will register the DLL. You restart your media center, you start up your extender, and now DVD library will be available on the extender.
Right, and the first thing I noticed with that it seemed to pick up content, recorded TV content on there from movies I recorded.
Yeah, if a recorded TV is marked as a movie, it will show up in the DVD library, which I thought was kind of strange, but some people
Yeah,
liked
isn't
it.
it's nice that immediately you've got all that sort of content separated out, so you want to watch your film, then you can go straight to that without having to sort of go through media to recorded TV, which I've always wanted that kind of archiving function, so I think that's not a bad idea.
With the way that this actually works is, unfortunately, we can't get the menus to work. So, all you're getting is the main movie. But most people are, at least, not, I wouldn't say happy with it, but accepting of it.
So you've got the DVD library up on the extender. Now, just before we keep going then, so what extenders does this work on?
This will work on any of the version 2 extenders, the Xbox 360, and I believe any of the D-Links or the Linksys.
Yeah, Linksys. Yeah, well, I tried this on Linksys and I got the menu up there. Okay, so you've got the menu there. You can access that. How do you then get your DVDs onto, or where do you put your DVDs?
Well, the DVDs can be actually placed anywhere on a network share. On that how-to page, I say, do not try to create a symbolic link on a Windows Home server, and I'm actually working on a way around that. But there can be put anywhere on any kind of a shared folder that the media center, excuse me, the extender can get to. The extender has to be able to get to it, so it has to be shared to anonymous as well as everybody. You can know how that can be.
I guess most people know how to rip the DVDs onto the machine, and I've used I think DVD Decrypt in the past, and there are other tools, and so yeah, and then end up with a folder with your DVD content on there. So just describe what kind of content is in a folder once you've ripped it? And why can't you play it directly anyway on Media Center?
In Media Center, Media Center can understand the IFO and VOB files. The IFO is it's basically a playlist for DVDs. All of the actual movie and extras and stuff like that is stored in VOB files, video object files. The IFO is the index files. When a DVD player reads a DVD, the first thing it does is go to a video underscore TS folder and looks for the IFO files. The IFOs then tell it which VOB files contain what parts and where within those VOB files the content can be found. You know, things like what audio track or what special content or alternate angles, that's all stored in the IFO file. Unfortunately, when you're using the DVD library on an extender, it can't directly read the IFO or VOB files. And I mean, that's something that's a problem, programmatic issue with the extender. I was talking to a few people who know the SDK on the extenders extremely well, and said that Microsoft has actually set it up so that if you try to make a call to something that they don't want you to, they'll actually shut down the extender interface on you.
All right, nice.
Yeah, isn't that great? So if you try to programmatically, with an add-on or something, try to make a call to a VOB or IF, something that tries to open up the IFO, it'll actually shut down the extender. Now, I can't say if that's true because I'm not a developer and I haven't tried it. So, but that's what I hear.
Mm.
So because the extender cannot directly read an IFO file or a VOB file, a VOB file, we have to, in some way, turn this into something that the extender can understand, which is, basically an MPEG or a WMV or a DVRMS or one of the supported formats by the extender. Now, a VOB file is essentially just an MPEG 2 file, and if you rename the VOB to MPEG, it works just fine. The problem with that is if you just rename them all to .mpeg, you don't have any way of playing them in any specific order. You don't have any way of choosing what actually gets played in what order. So we have to then create a playlist that will go through the VOB files in the correct order.
Right. Now, So if you didn't do that, you could end up with half the last bit of the movie, then the first bit, or whatever, because
whatever, just because which will actually happen in DVD library, it'll see in that folder, in that video TS folder, not a single movie, but 5, 6, 7 little segments, and ask you which one you want to play, and it's kind of figure out by the name or whatever which one to play. You might hit it, you might not. The other problem with that is you're stuck with whatever the first content on the in the VOB file is. So unfortunately, we have no way around this except for ripping it specifically, something like DVD shrink, which takes out all the extras, or gets rid of the alternate language files. If you want something in English in the correct order, with the correct subtitles, that's the way you should rip it. If you don't want the defaults, then you'll have to rip it with the settings that you want. If you want the Spanish language, you should rip it with the Spanish language and not the English, because the English is the default and that's what you'll get.
Mm. Yeah, so it's you've got to be careful how you do the ripping as well, to make sure you get all the content that you actually need.
Right. Mm. Yeah, it's it's not as easy as being able to drop a DVD in, which we're still working on. But that's where we're at right now.
Mm. So next thing you need is a playlist, then.
Right. You need the WVX list. I'm not sure what WVX is. It's like Windows Video Extensions or something like that.
Yeah.
But it's just a playlist, And again, if you go to that web page, that the DVD library on an extender how-to, there's an example there of what your playlist will look like. And it just lists each FOB file in order, the way that they should be played. It's basically, VOB 1, VOB 2, VOB 3, VOB 4, but again, it's going to be all the defaults.
So you've got your files, you've got the playlist. So then do you just then can does the playlist show up in the videos, sorry, in DVD library?
Well, if you have a folder.jpg of the cover art, and if you have that in the folder above the video TS, so the way I have my movies set up on my server is I have the share called movies. Under that, I have a folder with the movie name, whatever the movie name is. Under that, I have the video TS folder where all the VOBs and the IFO files are stored. In the folder above the video TS folder, if you put a folder.jpg with the cover art, excuse me, the DVD library will actually show you the cover. Other than that, if you don't have a folder, excuse me, a folder.jpg, it will just show you the folder name. And when you click on the folder name, it's going to look for a WVX file within that to try to play.
Right, I see. Yeah. So if you combine the script, the WVX file with a folder image as well,
.jpg.
then you've got a nice way of browsing for the content then.
And that's if you want to just rename the files dot, to from VOB to dot MPEG. What we came up with, it was a little more elegant than that. Without having to rename everything, what we did was another person who wants to remain nameless came up with a script that will create symbolic links from the VOB to a .MPEG. And a symbolic link is kind of like a link on your desktop where it's just a shortcut to another file. So if you were to actually look in the folder, in the video TS folder, you'd see, VTS underscore 01 underscore 01 dot VOB. And then right below that, you'd see a video TS underscore 01 underscore 01 dot MPEG. And both of them would have the exact same date, time, size, and everything. So it looks like you actually doubled the size of that folder, but you didn't because the MPEG is just a pointer back to the .VOB. That way you don't lose the functionality if you want to use something like My Movies or DVD Library on your main PC. It will actually play it with all the menus still available. If you change it to .MPEG, you lose all that.
Right. So if you wanted to use, so if you had your media center machine connected up to your TV and you normally used DVD library or My Movies and you used all the menus and the contents and everything else, this is the way to go so that you retain that data for when you do it natively.
But again, the disadvantage to that is that you're stuck with whatever the defaults are, whatever the first track is, the first audio track and the first video track of that MPEG file is what's going to play.
So the script that you've got there creates the symbolic link files, and does it create the WVX file as well then?
It does. That script actually will create the WVX files. I'm actually working with somebody else on developing a little EXE file that will kind of do the same thing, but make it a little more user-friendly. The way that script is right now, at the top of the script, you actually, if you download that script from my site, you then have to open up the script file and change two of the constants in it. Okay, the two constants are const str remote location and const str WVX output folder. Now, the str remote location is the location of your share. So, like in my case, my files are stored on backslash black backslash WHS backslash movies. So that's what I would put in there. Now, the reason for that is because when you actually run the script has to be run from a drive letter. So, if my movies are on a folder on my D drive of my server, I actually have to be on the D drive of that server to run the script. And by default, it will, put all those the script, excuse me, all of the WVX files will say D colon backslash movies backslash whatever, rather than whack whack server name whack share. So they wouldn't play correctly.
Right.
So that's the reason for the STR remote location. The second is the output folder of where the WVX files are actually going to land. This script was originally written for use with my movies, and my movies, you could have all those scripts in a single folder, and my movies would figure out by the location of the with the remote location where how to play those VOB files. DVD library doesn't. That script actually has to be in the video TS folder of each movie. So what you'd have to do is after you run this script, you take whatever you put in your output folder. So you go into that output folder and you're going to see 30, 40, 50 scripts in there, WVX files. You have to copy by hand each one and drop them into the video TS folder of each of those movies. And that's kind of a pain. What I'm working on right now, with someone who knows Visual Basic a little better than I do, is I'm creating a little executable file where all you would need to do is put first the location of the share, and then secondly, whether you want these to go into each folder for use with DVD library or a single folder for use with my movies. Hopefully that'll be a lot easier for most people to use. There's a lot of confusion about what those two strings do.
Right, I see. And so from this script, can you run this? So you're saying you can run this at a top level folder, and then it'll apply to all the DVDs you've got in, or did you run it once per DVD?
No, you run it on the top level in the movies folder. So if you're folder structure was like D colon backslash movies backslash movie name, movie name, movie name, all under that. If you ran it in the movies folder, it will actually search through each of the subfolders, find all the video underscore TS folders, and create the symbolic links and the playlist
Oh,
files.
that's good. So all then you've got to do is get the folder JPEGs if you want the cut the album out or the cover video cut.
And you have to move the playlists into the correct folders.
Well, but and then you can, so that if you've got a full collection of DVDs, then that's got to be the quickest way of doing it.
Yeah, myself, I have about 60 of my favorite movies. I have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of movies on DVD, and I didn't want to rip them all. So I just put my favorites up on the server.
Now, I noticed that you've got on there about WMV format, and when I first started with Media Center, I used WMVs for quite a few of my DVDs. So how does that work differently to with the VOBs?
Well, I actually haven't done that, but there was a lot of people that were saying, well, I rip my DVDs to WMV format. It's much smaller,
Yeah.
and they get exactly what they want. Of course, the same thing, you lose your menus, but
But they play.
when you're,
They work.
what's
They
that?
work well.
They work very well, yeah, and you don't get any pauses or anything like that. So, one of the options when you rip your DVD from a disc to your hard drive is recompressing it into a WMV format. And the original version of the DLL, the transcoder.dll, did not understand WMV files. But then there was a bunch of people who were saying, please give me the option of running, the WMVs. So the person who originally wrote the DLL came back and changed the way that the DLL actually works, so that it doesn't just look for the WVX or the VOB file or the MPEG file. It'll actually go through any type of media file. Now, the problem with that is it doesn't actually check to see if that particular extender supports that file format. It just sees a format there and tries to play it, so it may error out, it may not. But you do have the option of using other file types now.
Right, that's good that because As I mentioned, I've got quite a few of mine on WMV, and I play them through the videos folder on Media Center. But actually, they work a lot better on here because you can go to DVD library, you can look at the cover,
Yeah, see the cover
and
there.
you can just play it. And I did get this working on the Xbox 360, so I was quite pleased with that.
Yeah, a lot of people were.
Yeah.
So, but again, like it does not check to see if that format is playable on that particular extender. It just tries to play it. So you may have issues, you may not. It may work for you. Fortunately, on most extenders, AVI, WMV, DVRMS, they're all going to be supported
Yeah,
formats.
well, I certainly know on the Linksys extender and the Xbox 360 it
Right.
worked.
Right. But we don't know what other types are going to be coming out down the road.
No, that's it. No, but it's good to have both those options. So you put these guides up a few weeks ago now. Sorry, look, before I move on then. So is that kind of the final piece of the pull then to get that working on the extenders?
Well, that'll get it working. There are some caveats. Like I said, you can't create the symbolic links on the Windows Home Server. Also on NAS devices, you can't create the symbolic links on NAS devices because you don't have an actual operating system that you have access to create the symbolic link. There are other ways to do it, and I'm going to be adding those up to that web page eventually. In Vista, there's a new command called mklink, make link. And it allows you to create a symbolic link to a remote location. So what I'm going to be doing is creating another how-to that will tell you how, if you have your Vista Media Center machine, what you can do is you can recreate your movie folder structure. So like on your server, if your server doesn't support symbolic links, if you have a NAS or a Windows Home Server, you can have the movie stored there, but the actual links, the .mpeg files, which don't actually contain anything, and the WVX scripts stored on a completely different machine,
Right.
you point DVD library to that machine, and it will still get to the Windows Home Server or NAS device that you can't create those links on. And I will be doing a how-to on that probably in the next couple days.
So let me get this right then. So you on your Media Center machine, it knows it has the symbolic links, and it has the.
It'll have the symbolic link. So if you actually looked in that folder, you would see you have to actually recreate the folder structure that's on the Windows Home Server. So if you had, backslash backslash Windows Home Server backslash movies backslash movie name, you have to create that on your Windows Home, I mean, excuse me, on your Media Center in the same folder structure so that DVD library can recognize it. And if you looked into the Video TS folders on there, what you would see is a WVX file and a number of .mpeg files that look like they say they're 1 gig, but in fact they're zero size or, just a few bytes.
So that means then you can have a NAS device or a home server or another PC just with the actual VOB files on the DVD content on there, and so the
And your links on a completely different machine.
absolutely. So that would work very well, because I guess a lot of people like the idea of just having all their DVD collection ripped to a NAS or a home server, and they don't want to put the symbolic
Right.
link files on there.
Yeah, well, and this actually came because for the last about 2.5 weeks, I've been trying to help somebody who keeps emailing me and saying, I can't get this to work, I can't get this to work. And I said, well, what's the problem? Well, first, they didn't have the correct strings in the constant files, excuse me, in the constant definitions in the script. Then there was they had them point to the wrong folders, and then, but this was all done through email, so it took days and days and days to just to get to create the links. And then once we got to the point of creating the links, he wrote me back and said, I can't create the links. It says cannot create links. So I asked him. I said, is this a NAS device? Because I just had a funny feeling all of a sudden that this was not going to work. And he said, yeah, as a matter of fact, it is. It's just a box with a bunch of hard drives in it. And I said, uh-oh. So then I kind of sat around to try to figure out how I was going to get it to work for him, because now I spent 2 weeks trying to create the script for him. And that's what I came up with. I tried it on my own system, and I said, wow, that actually does work. So I can have all of the symbolic links and the script files local, and just have them point to a completely separate, space somewhere, some share on the network, and it doesn't actually care. As long as it has access to the share and it has access to the links, it works perfectly well.
That's excellent. That's a nice way of separating the content out from the media center specific instructions.
Yeah, and at the very bottom of the page, I actually thought about that. There's a little DVD library discussion. Unfortunately, my forums don't work on this website, and that's something we can talk about later. But there is a little blurb that I put down there that I was going to start working on that. And now that I've tested it and it actually does work, I'll post a how-to on it.
So by the time this show goes out, then that's probably out, and I'll include a link to all
That
that.
probably will be available,
Yeah,
right?
I'll include a link in the show notes. I think that's excellent. I really like the idea of that. That's a really nice way of separating everything out. I mean, if you've got, okay, if you've only got one machine and a home server, then maybe not too worried about that. But if you've got NAS devices with
Well,
terabytes of data on
the
there,
nice thing is it doesn't actually use any space.
that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, or very, very little. Maybe if you have a few hundred movies, you might use a couple of meg of actual space, on your hard drive.
Yeah, but other than that, it's really nicely separated out, and I guess then if you're using that DVD content with something other than Media Center as well, you're not messing with that. You're keeping that nice and
Right,
separated.
right.
So you've had it out for quite a few weeks now. So what's the reaction been like to the work you've done?
It's been mixed. Some people are, ecstatic. They say, wow, finally, it doesn't work great, but it works. Other people said, well, I thought about this 2 years ago, and what I really want is all the is the menus and chapter search and all that stuff. And I say, hey, we're give us a break. We're working on it.
You've got to start
And
somewhere,
we got
haven't
it
you?
right. Right. I mean, before you couldn't get DVD library to work. So you had to use the videos, which you had no cover art or anything like that. At least, we're in the, it's a step in the right direction. It's not great, but it does work. And at least you can, use your menus to get to it.
Absolutely. And I think just the cover art, I think adds a just having the fact you've got the cover art, and of course the fact that you can stream this stuff directly on Extenders is great, because I don't, a lot of the, I think as discussed on the show before, and I guess a lot of people's experiences, you don't want to have DVDs everywhere when you've got kids about, because they just get scratched and fingerprints and everything else. And if you can just all access everything through Media Center, it's ideal.
Right, yeah.
And that's been used many times on my machine now since you came out with the guide for watching Power Rangers. So my kids appreciate that.
So, yeah, I missed you at the MVP Summit. It's too bad you couldn't make it.
Yes, I was away that exact week as well. So, oh, and
Yeah.
something else happened the year before, so I didn't make that either.
Well, maybe
Maybe
next
next year,
year.
yeah. I'll have to try and put it in my diary better. Well, I think it's a great guide that you've done, and what I really like is the fact that it's a whole bunch of MVPs kind of working together, and you're kind of spearheading it. But some of the other guys that I know have worked on the project that are keeping below the radar. I think it's nice that they've had their involvement as well.
I mean, and it's really nice that a lot of people have been doing the work on it. The problem with some of the people don't want their names out there is either because they are specifically Media Center developers, or they're MVPs and they just don't want Microsoft to know that they've done this. I mean, for whatever reason, I don't. I mean, when we were out there, Microsoft didn't seem to have a problem of someone else doing it. They just weren't going to. So I didn't really see the issue with it. But hey, everybody has their own opinion, and that's fine with me. Some of these people are doing third-party software and don't want the people that they're working with to know that they've done it.
Yeah, absolutely, you can understand that, but it's nice that they've allowed you to kind of pull all this stuff together as well, so it's out there for everyone.
And again, the source code for the transcoder, excuse me, transcoder.dll is available on that how-to page. So if somebody would like to download that source code and modify it and see if they can get it to do something else, be my guest to do it. The way we've set it up is, we didn't want to set up, an actual checkout or anything like that. But if somebody wants to mess with the source code and comes up with something that they think should be included in the newest version of the DLL, they can send it to us. We'll test it and we'll add it to the official release. So, the next version will be a .8. And anything else that's floating around out there, if it doesn't come from the HTTP/CUG website, it's not going to be considered an official release of the transcoder.dll. So just be warned of that. If you picked up that DLL from somewhere else and somebody modified the source code, don't come to me.
Yeah, it's nice that you can see the code, so at least if you're that way inclined, at least anyway, you can have a poke around and see what we can come up with and feedback to you
Right.
guys.
And if you do come up with something, that's great. Send it to me. We'll test it out. We'll make sure there's we'll do some bug testing, make sure there's no bad code, and then add it to the official release. So hey, everybody's welcome to help out with that.
That's excellent.
Or if somebody else comes up with another script that does a better job than the one we have, that's perfectly fine too. We can do that. We actually already had somebody else send excuse me, another version of a script that creates ASX files instead of WVX files, which is the My Movies script, excuse me, playlist.
So that's really nice. That it's really good when you can get the community involved and like you said, get the features and folded back into the main product as well, so everybody sort of benefits from that then.
I'm a big fan of community
Yeah,
projects.
absolutely. Well, it's been great talking to you about it, and I think it's a great project, and I encourage everybody that is keen on sort of getting this flexibility with the DVDs to give it a try. And I'll include a link to the article in the show notes so listeners can go directly to it.
Okay, great. And yeah, the other thing that I did mention halfway through, I am revamping our entire website with a newer version of .NET Nuke, which is what our website runs on, and SQL Express, which is this website is many years old and has been moved from server to server, and it doesn't really work right anymore. The forums don't work anymore. The discussion groups don't work anymore. The wiki doesn't work anymore. So I built a new website on a completely new server, and I'm going to be beta testing. It's going to be open for beta testing very shortly. So if by the probably by the time this comes out, it'll be up as a beta test, and it's the actual link to that is test.htpcug.org, and there the forums are working, the wiki does work. There's some stuff up there already. If people, your listeners want to check it out and try out the forums and beta test for me, they can go ahead and do that.
Oh, that's excellent. I'll include a link for that as well. So it's good to have those forums, and it's a nice way of getting sort of the discussion going.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons I came up with adding the wiki. I really wanted to get the wiki work to work, wiki work, the wiki to work, so that we can have more how-tos and people can create their own how-tos or different ways of doing it, stuff like that. So I've always been a big fan of wikis. So there's this actual page is already up there. The DVD on extender how-to is actually already up on the wiki on the test.htpcug.org website.
That's really good. That so definitely include a link for all that in the show notes so people can get going with that straight away, and even just getting the DVD libraries working up there so you can pick up your movies that you've recorded off TVs is nice.
Yeah, the first time I actually went into DVD library and didn't have it pointing to anything, and 2 dozen things showed up, and I'm like, what is this? And then I realized it was all the stuff, because it was weird that TV shows didn't show up, just recorded movies. But they did, and it was strange, but hey, that was kind of neat.
Yeah, absolutely. It's always nice to get a few extra features.
Yeah.
Well, many thanks for your time today, Pete, and be sure you'll get some feedback in, and we'll get you back on a future show, and we'll talk about some more, and we'll talk about the user groups.
Sure.
Well, great. Well, many thanks for your time today.
Oh, thanks for having me again.
Okay, thanks to Pete. The email address for the show is in@thedigitallifestyle.com. I'm off to Silverstone for the British Grand Prix this weekend, so if you see me, say hello. You can follow on Twitter, twitter.com/IXDixon, friend feed, E&D. You'll see me on the blogs, and I'll see you next week. Bye.